How many of you all were blessed by drive-in service over the summer? I know I was. I was thinking each week it amazed me that we could have terrible weather on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning. What? Who's in charge of this thing anyways, right? It's so awesome that God provided not one Sunday that we had to cancel drive-in service from June until now. Amazing. And then the day we choose to shift, it's not about us, right? But the day that we choose to shift, it's raining outside. We wouldn't have been able to do this. So how amazing is God to lead us to this timing and just provide for us. On our way into this sermon today, I just want to pause and pray. I heard this morning that a previous pastor on the peninsula, Pastor Colin, who used to be down at Pacific Bible Church, has a bladder infection. He's been hospitalized up in Canada, and so we're just going to pray for him and just for the nation and the world while we're at it. So would you join me in prayer? Father, as we get into your word, we need to take the weighty things that are on our heart that could distract us, that could move us away from connecting with you and hearing from you to you and your control instead of ours. This morning, hearing that my brother Colin is unwell, knowing his ministry, his love for the church, his love for the lost, most of all, his love for Christ, I'm just concerned. I want to see this light shine brighter still. I want to see he and Mary continue to have powerful ministry as they equip others, as they love the church, as they lead others, as they call the lost to know you. And so we pray for Colin as he's in the hospital. We pray that you would be healing him, that you'd be taking away this infection that is in his bladder. That's very serious, and you'd just be eliminating it so that he is in full and good health. In all of this, Father, we have this great confidence that in knowing you, Colin and Mary have peace and have hope. And I pray that you would help them to be centered on that, so that instead of just being a time in the hospital to be healed, that they would be a light in a place where many people need to know you. And so we ask that you would reach down and that you would touch them both for the sake of wholeness in their bodies and in their spirits. Father, beyond this, we are in a really strange time in our nation, in the world. We pray, Father, for those who are suffering from COVID-19, whose lives and bodies are being affected. We ask, God, that you would be mercifully leading them to health again. I think of those I know who have friends and family who have perished, who are still mourning, who every time the news talks about this, they re-experience the fear and the difficulty and the loss. We pray, God, that you would be graciously leading them to healing in their inner parts, that they would know goodness even in mourning, that they would taste and see that you are good and find satisfaction in you and reason to move forward. Father, for those who are caught up in fear, in anger, in strife, we ask that you would lead them to trust in you, to overcome these burdens that are crushing their human spirits. We are not meant to be crushed by the situations that we live in, and yet so often when these tidal waves of catastrophe and fear wash over us, it's hard to keep our footing. And so we pray that you would strengthen them, especially those who are in Christ. Help them to set their feet firmly on your Son and to build their lives according to his instructions and his model of life. And finally, Father, we pray for our nation. I cannot think of a time where the division was so tangible that exists between brothers and friends and neighbors. I cannot think of a time, Father, where you can make an enemy by thinking the wrong thing. I am greatly concerned. I ask, Father, that you would use your church to lead this nation to a season of unity, that we would be able to model and evidence real love. Our church alone has so many diverse opinions in it, and yet I see warm greeting and fellowship and agape love in this congregation, and I know that is evidence of your goodness in all seasons. I pray, Father, that you would use your church to lead the way into that. But beyond that, Father, we pray that we as a nation would be people who would seek truth, Right now, we're in the midst of making big decisions and talking about huge ideas and massive shifts for our culture, which has been a blessing to so many. And much of that is driven by emotion rather than wisdom. Much of that is driven by fear instead of knowledge. We know that our nation is not perfect, Father, and yet we also see that your hand has been on this nation, not just for our sake, but for the world. Help us, Father, to be people who live in true philosophy and truth and can speak the truth in love. We pray, Father, that you would change the climate of our culture so that real discourse could happen again, real discussion about how to move forward from where we are. Father, we pray for our president. We pray for the Supreme Court. We pray for the House and the Senate. We ask for your covering over our leaders, Father. We have experienced distance and discomfort and spiritual attack and emotionally driven decisions, and we're not in charge of a nation. I cannot imagine the weight that they feel at times for the things that are going on. I ask that you would give them wisdom, that you would shelter them spiritually, that you would allow them to make wise decisions together to move our nation forward. We pray, Father, that you would spark a new thing, hands reaching across the aisle, hearts open, ears open, that our leaders would learn to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. We pray, Father, that you would move our nation forward in being a just, good, and verdant society again. We pray, Father, for this election season. We ask for your will to be done, and we trust in you. We pray for the candidates for vice president and president, that you would be guarding them and watching over them. We pray above all, Father, that you would lead us again to peace. You say that you want everyone everywhere to pray in humility and dependence on you for those in authority, so that there would be peace in the land, so that the gospel could be spread. We pray for that peace today, Father. We long for a season where we can speak the truth of Christ in openness again, in love again, and to be known in that loving way. As we endure a season where that is not happening, Father, help us not to diminish our voice, but to use it in wise ways and in strength. I pray for our time in your word, Father. Speak to us. Show yourself to us that we might know you and walk in the light of the knowledge of knowing you. Father, in Hosea, you say that you don't want us to just tear our garments over sin. You don't want us to just mourn. You don't want us to give an offering or a sacrifice. You say that what you long for are a people who love mercy and who know you. And so, Father, be shaping our hearts that we would again be a church who loves mercy, be a church who knows you. We thank you for these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Clean up aisle Pastor Chris's face, I guess. Eyeballs are leaking up here. I'll have to work on that later. I'm really glad that we are here today. Not just that it's Welcome Back Sunday, but that we get to do this as a church. This is amazing. You know, there are places on earth where believers can't do this. They can't create a building and dedicate it to the service of the Lord. They can't put a sign out front. They can't put Facebook videos out. They can't share cards with other people. They can't put what they're doing online. We have an immense freedom and opportunity in our nation to gather together. And it strikes me that it was so easy to take that opportunity for granted. That it was easy in the richness and the comfort of our nation to say, I don't need the church. I don't need other Christians. I'll just listen to a podcast. I'll just pop my favorite worship CD in or listen to my favorite songs on my computer and my phone. It's just me and God. And yet in this season, I think that we've all felt how being pulled apart has highlighted our need to be together. We are stronger together. And that's what this Sunday is all about. Is about being stronger together. And so throughout the sermon, I'm going to drop just occasionally, I'm just going to say, we are stronger. I'm going to ask you all to say together, okay? So we are stronger.
Together.
I hope you just did that in your living room to your cat or your dog or your neighbors, you know, whoever's with you. If you're doing that at home, I would just encourage you to be like you're here with us. I was just thinking about how in August, my family and I, we took a road trip. We got to borrow a friend's trailer. We camped out at a couple of RV parks, and then we ended up staying in my in-law's backyard in our RV, or our friend's RV, I guess, our friend's trailer, in eastern Washington. And when we pulled up and saw them, I wasn't prepared for the joy that I would experience in seeing them again. We'd FaceTimed, right? We'd connected with them, and yet showing up in person, there was this power, there was this tangibility to the relationship that I could embrace Leo and Colleen, my in-laws, my bonus parents, right? That we could be together for a chunk of a week and just know the goodness and love of being together. And I hope that that is overwhelmingly the experience that we have as a congregation, that we would continually, as we could see each other, that we would be encouraged and strengthened, that the love of Christ would be even tangible. In fact, the Apostle John, he writes to his church in 1 John, he says that when you gather together and when you love each other, the agape love, God's love becomes manifest on this earth. It becomes real. It's not just theoretical. And I hope that when you think of coming to church, I hope that when you think of going to friends' homes within the church or other churches, when you run into each other at Jack's or at Chevron or at Costco, that it is as much church as it is here, right? That the love of God is present and you know that. And yet I know today there are some people who are gathering with us, and I'm thankful that you're here, that your story in church hasn't looked that way. That's not what you would share if we would ask you about what is church for you. See, sometimes God's people, we fail to represent the love of Christ and to lend that same goodness that Jesus lends to us to all the people around us. In fact, there is no such thing as a perfect church, because there are no such things as perfect people, right? In fact, I would say that if you're a perfect person, there's another church about a mile up the road. They're going to worship right now. You can hit. I'm a little tongue-in-cheek, but there are no perfect people in this church, right? And so that means that some of us, on any given week, might feel hurt or distance, not just from God, but from the other people in the church. I don't know all of your stories. As I look out, I know a lot of your stories, and it gives me joy to know those stories and to know you and to be able to love you in a real sense. But if you have been hurt in the process of being or seeking the church, I'm sorry. We love you. We want to welcome you back, and we want you to know healing and grace through Jesus again. And so if you're visiting us today and it's been a long time since you've been a part of the church, thanks for joining us. Thanks for being here. It's a big step, and we hope that you encounter the real love of Jesus and that he begins to regrow in you the things that were lost through what you experienced. Today isn't just about that. Today is about being stronger together. And we, amen, good job, church. blowing me away. We are not made to be alone, right? We are not made to do life by ourselves. Are any of you prone to lone wolf syndrome? I'm prone to lone wolf syndrome, just doing it on my own, right? Bearing the burdens, just pack more weight on. I got this, man. Just let me do this. Look out, get out of the way. I can do this. But I must confess that as I have lived church, as I've lived following Christ, I've learned that doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. I talk about often the ministry is a team sport, but the truth is that life is a team sport. Moreover, if you're not on the right team, you can't win. Jesus is looking to add more people to his team, and maybe you'll find today that you can be stronger
together
here at Peninsula Baptist or at another church. And in order to talk about being stronger together, we're going to be in the book of Ecclesiastes. We're actually going to be in Ecclesiastes 4. And so if you want to flip there now in your digital or analog Bibles, isn't it crazy that this is an analog Bible in today's world, right? A paper Bible. I would encourage you to do that while you're I love the sound of that, by the way, the pages turning. I know that in like 10 years, that's going to be gone. I'm just going to hear fingers thudding. And then people being like, ah. They're frustrated with their technology, right? That's happening to me more and more, by the way. I'm about to hit the fourth decade of life, and I just feel distant from technology. I'm waiting for the day that I hand my computer to my child and be like, can you fix the thing with the stuff, right? I know that's coming, and I don't, Mike Snyder says, you don't want to do that. Yeah, that's how your screen ends up upside down with your kid with a smirk on their face, right? Got you. All right, so we're going to be in Ecclesiastes. Now, Ecclesiastes is a book that is in the wisdom literature of the Bible. Wisdom literature of the Bible means that it is a place of reflecting on truths to help you live life well. The Psalms go in wisdom literature. Proverbs go in wisdom literature. Ecclesiastes goes in wisdom literature. And Song of Songs is also a part of wisdom literature. And so these are reflections of others on the nature of God and the nature of life so that we would live life well. Now, sometimes in wisdom literature, what we see is people who are not living life well, who are struggling, who are not having a good time, and they're just exposing their hearts and their brokenness to God. You've probably read some Psalms, and you're like, how can I pray this? Like, I can't embrace this truth of this passage in Christ. You're telling me that Christ died on the cross so that I could pray that his enemies would die right now? I know in the end, in the eschaton, that there are people who will oppose Christ and that they will suffer and die, but we're in a season of grace, and I just want to pray for grace, and that's okay. We recognize that what is being exposed to us is that in all seasons of life, in all of the things that we feel in our hearts, we can be open and real with God. Well, Ecclesiastes is a book like that. In fact, I'm guessing that most of you have not read from the book of Ecclesiastes in 2020, right? You've been turning to pages in your Bible where there's like a deep amount of hope. And when you open Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and it says, everything is meaningless. There is nothing worthwhile. You're not thinking, I'm going to tweet that out to everybody, right? Like, way to be positive and encouraging. You flip from K-Love when that's being read is the verse of the day. You're like, man, I'm going to go over to Air One, even if they play hip-hop, right? Ecclesiastes is a book that is a journey of hope, right? In the beginning, I love the CSB's translation, the translation we use. It says, everything is futile. Absolutely futile. There's no point in human life. Wow, I don't love that, by the way. That's not my life verse. I don't have that tattooed on my back or on the bottom of my foot even, right? That's not a good life verse. But then it moves to the end of the book. And there are all these reflections from Solomon, who was the wisest man on earth at that point in time, up to that point in time in history until Christ. And he says, in the end, fear God and keep his commandments, for he will determine what is of worth. In other words, in all my wisdom, I get lost in life, and sometimes it's confusing and hard, and I feel alone and hopeless, but I find hope in God. And when I can't sort it out, I know that he will eventually. And that is the hope of the book of Ecclesiastes. And so today we're going to be in Ecclesiastes 4, talking about some strength that Solomon has found in life. And so I'm going to read this, and you're welcome to follow along in your Bible. It says, two are better than one. They have a good reward for their efforts. For if either falls, his companion can lift him up. But pity the one who falls without another to lift him up. Also, if two lie down together, they can keep warm. But how can one person alone keep warm? And if someone overpowers one person, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. Wow. So this is a great analogy in the Bible. It's a physical picture of life to help us understand spiritual truths. And so Solomon is saying, we are like a rope. And I got this. This is called blue steel. Blue Steel? Any Zoolander fans out there? You're like, I didn't know that was a real thing. I've got a friend who's in the shellfish business, and he's like, yeah, we use this rope called Blue Steel. It's awesome and strong. And I just started to laugh. I was like, Blue Steel? It's part of a movie. Anyways, you can look that up on YouTube later. It'll be worth 30 seconds of your life. And anyway, so this is a cord. It's a rope. And it's a rope of three strands, right? You can see this here. I decided to go America today, so we went to Jack's and got some red, white, and blue electrical tape to keep this from unwinding even more. And this is actually thick. This is like 1 inch thick. This is a thick line. I looked up online, and half-inch blue steel can hold a ton and a half. That's a lot of weight, right? For a half-inch rope, that's a big deal. If you just take a half-inch of yarn and tie it to a car and try and tow that car, what's going to happen? It's going to break. It's going to stretch, and it's going to pow, right? Some of you have probably broken ropes doing that before, or cables. That's a scary thing when that happens, when you're relying on that. But you get a half-inch of blue steel, and you can tow most vehicles off the beach. That's incredible. You get 3/4 inch of blue steel, and it can tow 13,900 pounds. 50% increase in diameter. That's what? 6-fold increase in strength? That's unbelievable. This 1 inch rope can lift up 21,900 pounds before it breaks. That's pretty incredible, right? Yeah, 10 tons. Thank you, Ted, my math friend. Math nerds of the world unite, right? We can make it happen. So this is a strong rope. It's not a strong rope because every individual fiber is strong. I mean, these things fall apart in your hands. Look, I just tore that like that. Ah, ha, ha, weak rope, right? But when it's wound together, its strength is incredible and impressive. A couple weeks ago, I was helping a friend load a bike onto the top of their car. They were going to take a road trip. And I was like, all right, well, let's get the rope. And they were like, ooh, I don't do rope. I do bungee cords. I was like, you bungee cords. And they were like, I just don't trust rope. I was like, do you mean you don't know how to tie knots? Yes. Yes, indeed. I don't know if my knots are going to hold. That's a different story, because rope is stronger than bungee cords, right? We're going through the bungee cord bucket, and I'm like, this one's dead. This one's, you know, they get old, and they dry up, and they get stretched out. But if we had rope, it would have been good. Anyways, 35 bungee cords later, in an hour of my life, the bike was secure to the top of the car. I wish I was making that up. 10 minutes of rope could have fixed that. We are a lot like rope, apparently. Individually, we might have some strength. How many of you would say you have strength? I hope you have strength. Yeah? But together, we have impressive and incredible strength. And God designed us to be that way. He designed us to not be alone. He designed us to have partnership in life. He designed us to be stronger together. That's right. And so Solomon compares us to rope. Now, rope is not new, right? Rope is almost as old as civilization itself. Rope allowed modern society, well, pre-modern societies, to become more and more modern, right? Without rope, there really wouldn't have been sailing or traveling around the world. Without rope, there wouldn't have been agriculture or commerce. Without rope, you wouldn't be able to move your family to a new town or goods from one place to another. Rope is an amazing invention, and as much as we take it for granted now, how many of you have ratchet straps in the back of your truck instead of rope? Me too, same. But they're kind of like flat ropes, aren't they? It's a bunch of woven nylon. We just don't think of it that way. It's just a different kind of rope. And so we still use rope to this day. And this analogy of rope is going to take us a long way today, I hope. Well, I want to point out a few things within the passage, right? So there are 4 quick observations, and then we're going to move into 3 ways that Jesus winds us together for strength. So first of all, Solomon says that if we have another, there is this profit, right? For better than one, because they have a good reward for their efforts. I've got a couple friends who are contractors. One of them says regularly, he says, make money with one, lose money with two. Solomon say, well, you're not doing it right, right? You're not doing it right if that's the case. There's a profitability, there's a strength in working together. In the beginning, God looked at Adam and Eve and he said, be fruitful and multiply. And often we talk about like having children, but that's not the only thing that he meant. He meant, I put you together. It wasn't good for Adam to be alone because he couldn't have been as fruitful without Eve. So be fruitful. Multiply the work that I'm doing in the earth. Have a good profit. Get done what I ask you to get done. And Solomon is saying that when you're alone, there's just more profit. And it's not just that there's more money profit. There's more profit in all sorts of ways. Have you ever told a joke to yourself? Kind of boring, right? Okay, I admit I laugh at my own jokes even when I'm in groups, right? Yeah. But still, you need others to make so much of life work. Second of all, there's accountability and support, right? For if either falls, his companion can lift him up. But pity the one who falls without another to lift him up. Wow, that's rough. Well, that's accountability and support. I think accountability can kind of be used as a bad word. I am here to hold you accountable. Click. No, you're not. I didn't ask you to tell me how to live my life. Please don't start now, right? Accountability is an offer. It's a mutual agreement. We're going to move each other forward in life. We're going to help keep the focus where the focus needs to be. When you are weak, I will lift you up, and I will restore you and encourage you. When you fall down, I won't let you stay down. If you ever fallen down and needed help to get up and it's not there, that's hard. I remember when I was in my 20s, we had a basset hound, and I would run with the basset hound. One time we were running down a hill, and she was running on my left side, and there was something on our right side that she wanted to see, and so she ran behind me right as my left leg was kicking back, and the leash caught my leg, and I fell, and I landed like a wrestler trying to destroy another human right on my knees on the concrete, and it bruised my kneecaps, and it bruised my meniscuses, and even at 27, I just had to take a Tebow minute, right? I was like, whoo, that hurts. I was like, can I walk home? I was a block and a half from home. I was like, can I do this? And I had to encourage, I was like, come on, you're 20, you're okay, you're going to be fine, you walk home. And it turned out it was actually a significant injury. It took some weeks to recover. I was okay, but I just wished in that moment that my wife was there. I was like, I just want my wife to comfort me and help me walk the dog, help me take a breather, tell me I'm going to be okay. We all need that sometimes in life. And it's not just that we fall down physically, we fall down in other ways. We face challenges and difficulty. We get tripped up in ideals and thoughts in our head, and when our expectations aren't met, we can just fall into a lowness. And when we're with someone else, they can encourage us, and they can support us, and they can hold us accountable. It means to call to account. It means put your attention over here. Focus on this, right? Don't do that thing. Do this thing. You do this in your life, right? I mean, how many of you saw things that you wanted to buy this week that you didn't buy because you were like, oh yeah, budget, right? Yeah. Or how many of you used to do that, right? So you're like, I don't budget. Every since I didn't balance my checkbook, I just look online and see if I have money. And if I do, I buy it. We should talk about that because I want to support you and help you focus on the right thing, right? And then he says, there's encouragement. Check this out right here. It says in verse 11, also if two lie down together, now how many of you had a PG-13 moment in your mind, right? They can keep warm, but how can one person alone keep warm? I knew people who were in like World War II way back in the day when I was a kid, and they would talk about trenches and foxholes. They'd say it was cold at night, and we'd just sort of cuddle up next to each other for warmth. I thought, huh. I'm not doing that in the dugout, right? Mom and Dad, did you bring my jacket? They knew the physicality of this verse, but this isn't just talking about that. The world can be cold and harsh, and when we're alone, we feel that deeply. When we have somebody else to care for us, to say, that's hard too, it changes our perspective. My family and I, we were watching the movie Inside Out. Anybody seen Inside Out? Yeah, there's this amazing moment in the movie where there's a character, Bobo the elephant, anyways. He's feeling very sad, and he's like weeping, and there's one character in the movie called Joy, and she tries to go over and cheer him up, and it's not working, and then the character called Sadness goes and sits down and is sad with him, and it transforms his sorrow into companionship and love and helps him move forward. And often we need people in life to do that, to just come and say, I see you're in this hole. I know how to get out, but before I help you out, I'm going to be down there with you for a minute. Because you don't need to be alone. Because we're stronger
together.
That's right. Yep. And then finally, he says, it's better to not be alone because there is protection. And if someone overpowers one person, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. that as we're together, that strength isn't just for getting stuff done. It's to resist difficulty and assault in the world. Man, you remember when you were told that you had to stay home, you couldn't go out, and you felt like you couldn't trust your neighbor even? I remember thinking, like, what an act of love it is to someone in that time to say, I will share air with you. I've never been in a season where lending someone the same air as I breathe felt like an act of love and risk at the same time. And in that, we were very, very separated. In that, there was so much fear. If you went to the store, you could just see it in the eyes of the people who were ringing you out. As I was in stores, I could see the interaction between people and the harshness as we were being separated and pulled apart. And in that time, I just spent every moment that I was interacting with those people trying to be in that with them. I see you. I see your burden. You're not alone. I care for you because you need strength and I'm here with you. You won't be broken if I can be strong next to you right now. And I won't be broken if you can be strong next to me. So let's pull together for strength. And so Solomon sees profit and accountability and support and encouragement and protection in relationships. But how do we get there? How do we get there in a way that's going to last? How many of you have felt the squeeze in a time in life and you're counting on someone to be there and they fail? That hurts, right? I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but how many of you have needed to be there for someone and you didn't have the strength and you knew that you were letting them down? That hurts you too. And it causes damage in relationships. And so as much as I want to say over and over again that we are stronger
together,
I also recognize that there are times where that doesn't work. And I don't want to just get our church together and have a rah, rah, rah festival for being together without recognizing that it can be hard to hang together, to hang tough. So what does it look like for us to actually be together and to find strength together? Well, there are three things that I want to talk about this week, and we'll talk about one more dynamic next week about how Jesus weaves us and winds us together for strength. And the first of these three things is that we are stronger together in Jesus, right? Wait a minute, I skipped a slide, we're just going to jump over that, because that's what happens, we don't go backwards, we go forward. We are stronger together in Jesus. And the hardship of this current season, which I don't need to rehearse, right? I'm not going to go through all that, we already prayed for all that. It's challenging. Where do you get your strength from, first and foremost? What's the foundation for your strength? I hope it's in Christ. Every human is designed to know God, to fellowship with the divine and find strength and meaning and reference and purpose and direction and love from that divine connection. And Jesus is the way that every human can experience that divine connection. Now, for 90% of us, I know that I'm preaching to the choir, but it's just important to remember that, right? How many of you have read, seen, or listened to news stories just this week alone that want to shake your world up, that make you feel weak? And when that happens, you need to remember, I am stronger in Christ first and foremost. That we are stronger in Jesus than we are alone. Other humans might fail you, but Jesus won't. He won't. We sang that song in the beginning, the second song in the church service, right? And one of the choruses was, you are good to me, you are always good to me. And we sang that echo, right? How did it go, Joel? Give thanks to God for he is good.
His never-ending love is faithful and true.
Yeah, his never-ending love is faithful and true. Thank you, Joel. Yeah. It's this repetitive, meditative idea. I'm marinating my mind and heart, reminding myself that I am stronger in Christ than I am without Christ, that his never-ending love is steadfast and sure, that he is with me all the time, and that I do not have to fear because he is with me. He is my good shepherd, and so rather than pestilence and curse pursuing me, I can trust that goodness and mercy are chasing me down relentlessly all the days of my life. There's a man named Paul, and he was a servant and messenger sent by Jesus, which is what it means to call him the Apostle Paul. And he went through some crazy hard times. He was stoned and left for dead more than one time outside of a town because he was preaching the name of Christ. He was boiled in oil. He was shipwrecked twice. He was bit by a snake. Over and over again, he faced hardship. And during that time, he learned this amazing and strange word that I wish was in my Betty Crocker cookbook. I wish I knew how to make this from ingredients in my refrigerator and cupboards. He learned this word called contentedness. Satisfaction in the goodness of God throughout all seasons of our life. That's the real definition of contentedness, right? It doesn't mean being satisfied with an empty bowl. It means being satisfied in Christ, no matter how full your bowl or cup is. And Paul says, I've learned that. I've learned the strength of being satisfied in Christ. And so he boasts when he writes to the Philippian church, if my thing works. He boasts, I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. I'm able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's an incredible thing. He had just received a gift from the Philippian church, a financial gift with a word of encouragement so that he could do the ministry that he was called to do by Christ without having to work through the rest of the day to just support himself and to find food. And he was writing a letter in part to say thanks, in part to encourage them. And he said, you know what? Your gift is awesome, and I am so thankful for your gift. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not that your gift strengthens me. What a weird thank you note, by the way. Can you imagine writing that after you get birthday gifts? Thank you so much for this book. I'm really enjoying it. But I just want to remind you that I was content without your gift and that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I hope that you find contentment and strength in Christ as well. He was a teacher and maybe a little rough around the edges sometimes. And so he reminds the Philippian church, it's not your gift that strengthens my ministry, and it will, and thank you because it's a gift from God. But it's Christ who strengthens me. How many of you have turned to physical things in your days in this time to find comfort, to find hope, to find strength? I've shared a story a few times about how I was having a bad day at work one day when I worked at P.F. Chang's as a back waiter. Oh, the glorious days of Chinese food, right? And I said out loud, man, I just need a coffee break and to go get a white mocha. And one of my Christian coworkers, she looked at me and she lovingly rebuked me. She said, that's not going to make your day better, Chris. You don't need a white mocha to have a better life. I was like, preach it, sister. I'm going to go get a white mocha. May have been a moment of weakness for me, but I thanked Jesus all the way through that 16-ounce diabetic deliciousness, right? God wants us to know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. By the way, this isn't about winning football trophies, right? This is about the day-to-day responsibility that we have when we know the gospel, to attain to the good things of God, to not do life on our own, to do the things that Christ calls us to do. I can be a husband through Christ who strengthens me. I can be a father through Christ who strengthens me. I can be a son of God through Christ who strengthens me. I can throw off duty and embrace love through Christ who strengthens me. I can be faithful in the mundane, unseen things of life where there is no encouragement and no reward through Christ who strengthens me. I can cast off the sin that so easily entangles me, the judgment, the condemnation, the jealousy, the greed, through Christ who strengthens me. I can share the gospel with others through Christ who strengthens me. I can look past the difficulties of this present season to hold on to the hope of heaven through Christ who strengthens me. Paul says the key to living my life successfully is not just my human connection to others and their support of me, which may or may not come through. It is always to be dependent on Christ first and foremost, and to see everything through the lens of Christ. Paul doesn't send the gift back and say, no thanks, I have Jesus, I don't need you. He says, you're a piece of Jesus providing for me, and I hope that I'm a piece of Jesus providing for you, because that is how we are stronger together. Right. But Paul didn't come up with this on his own. He saw it in his life and he reflected it, but he was a Jewish guy, and he was an awesome Jewish guy, by the way. And as a result, he thought and meditated on the Old Testament all the time. And he loved the book of Psalms. He loved all of God's word. And he loved the book of Psalms. And as a Pharisee, he would have known it and meditated on it and recited it many times. And in Psalm 18:1, there's this beautiful poem of praise and trust in God. And it says, I love you, Lord. my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock where I seek refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I called to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I was saved from all my enemies. That is a song of strength in connection to God. He is the one I will trust. There's another psalm. It says, I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Paul is trying to teach by example. And he says, find your strength in God. And when you're feeling weak and when you're feeling alone, blow the horn and call the Savior. Say, come down and deliver me. I will hide in you. You are my fortress and my stronghold. In you I have strength, and in you alone. And I love you, Lord. We picked that song today. Joel picked that song today, Mighty to Save. And we still worship a Savior who can move the mountains. Our God is still mighty to save. He is still mighty to save. And he is even working now. And then Jesus connects this in an even greater way to himself. He's about to leave the earth. He's about to be crucified in front of his disciples, publicly shamed and rejected. All of them but one will run away in fear. There'll be one disciple, John, and three women who are there at the cross. Everyone else will abandon him. And before that, he's teaching his disciples. He wants them to know, you're going to go through some hard times, but you need to remain in me. Don't disconnect from me. He tells them, I am the vine, and you are the branches. My Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you. Just as the branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. What can you do spiritually without Christ? Nothing. If you're living your life without Christ, if you're doing things in your life without Christ, what should you expect that produces eternally? Nothing. So that means without Christ, Bill Gates' billions are worth what?
Nothing.
Wow. That's a big deal, right? How about Jeff Bezos?
Zero.
Wow. That's strange accounting, isn't it?
Zero.
Yeah. It's worthless. And yet we chase after these things. And Jesus says, don't chase after these things. Abide in me. You will find your strength in me. And anybody who likes wine out there, it's okay to admit that, by the way. Okay, all right. Yeah. How does wine get its flavor?
Through grapes.
That's good. And the grapes come because the grapes grow on the vine. Those little branches, they're connected to the vine. And the vine gives all of the strength, all of the nutrients, all of the characteristics of that wine come through the vine and come through the roots of the vine. Without that, those grapes would be bland and flavorless. How many of you would rather eat an heirloom tomato grown organically in someone's garden versus the tomatoes on the vine that are grown in the hothouse that are relatively watery, right? Those organic tomatoes, they have incredible, incredible flavor because of the vine that they're connected to. And those other tomatoes, which we shall not name, right? They have what flavor? Yeah, it's like, they might as well be croutons, right? They're just mushy croutons on your salad. Just going to add a touch of color because we know they're flavorless. And we'll hope that the ranch makes them taste good, right? That's your hope at that point in time is Hidden Valley. That's a sad salad.
Yes.
Jesus says, remain in me and find strength in me. If you don't remain in me, if I'm not your rock, if I'm not your hiding place, if I'm not your love, if I'm not your strength, don't expect to bear fruit. Some of us have been living disconnected from Christ. At some point in time, we experienced something, and instead of plugging into Jesus, that wire from our brain plugged into something else. And we became distracted and our focus became on the news channel, whichever one's our favorite. Or it became on other distractions. And I'm just going to watch old TV shows for a while because this world's going to hell in a handbasket. And I might as well enjoy Gomer Pyle while it is, right? Or whatever your favorite reruns are. Or I'm just going to listen to music and read my Bible. Wow, isn't it interesting that we can do Christian things and have that be disconnected from our relationship with Jesus? Disconnected from following and obeying Him? That's what it takes to be a disciple. That's what it takes to remain in Him. And graciously and lovingly, Jesus prunes away those things in our life that decrease the fruit He's bearing so that our lives are rich with His fruit. Maybe today you're going to reconnect with Christ. Maybe today you're going to put your faith in Christ the first time. You're going to say, you know what, nothing else is working in this season. I don't know if my voice counts. I don't know if my vote counts. I don't know if the air I breathe is safe. So I might as well find something trustworthy, and I'm going to trust in You, Jesus. Maybe today is that day for you. And there's this very strange and hidden thing in the midst of the analogy of the vine and the words of Paul. It's this strange truth, it's antithetical, that we are stronger in our weakness. That we are stronger in our weakness. This is not a very manly thing to embrace, by the way, right? It's right up there with, like, let your gentleness be known to all, which is, by the way, the theme verse for our men's ministry, which could explain why it's so small right now. That we are stronger in our weakness. Well, why would we be stronger in our weakness? We're stronger in our weakness because in our weakness, we can become resigned to the fact that our only hope, our only strength is in Christ, that I am not self-sufficient on my own, but it is His strength in me that matters most of all. Amen. This same apostle, this same messenger and servant of Jesus tells the Corinthian church, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it would leave me. What is it? It's this thorn in His flesh, he calls it. See, Paul was caught up into heaven, and he received visions from Jesus, and he spoke with Jesus personally. And he came back with messages from Christ, like, I'm supposed to be an apostle. I used to be a persecutor and a murderer of the church. That's crazy. And I now believe the gospel of Jesus, though never walked with Him one day on earth, and I understand it in the same way that you do, other 12 apostles. That's a crazy thing. And then he says, but God knew that I would become proud of myself in that. And so He gave me a thorn in my flesh so that I would not grow prideful. And I asked God to remove that thorn from me 3 times. But Jesus said to me, He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness, in your weakness specifically. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weakness so that Christ's power may reside in me. So I take pleasure in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and in difficulties. Amen. Add those to your Costco list, right? Can you get the ice cream I like, honey? Also some insults and injury while you're at it. And then maybe some salt to put on the wound so that I can thank Jesus just a little bit more this week. For the sake of Christ, a little lemon juice. That's good. That's good. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Wow. It's like Paul is saying those places that I'm reminded to abide in Christ are all the places that it's hard. But the key to overcoming the difficulties of life is to remain and abide in Christ through all seasons of life and the things that we deal with. That means inviting Christ into the weak spots of our life. Now, I have to admit that as a Christian, it's easier to invite Jesus into the political conflict of America right now than it is in my inability to love my children and my wife perfectly. Some of you are shocked right now. He's not a perfect guy. Just like you, right? It's just that I have a different job. Where are the places in your life that you try to hide that Jesus says, no, boast. God, You've made me low on love this week so that I can remain in You. Fill me with Your Spirit so that I might love because my flesh is weak. My spirit is willing. Work in me in these ways, Lord. Paul says we find strength in Christ in the places that we are weak. But we don't do that alone because we are stronger
together.
And we are stronger together. This beautiful verse in Galatians where Paul says, and bear one another's burdens. We were not meant to carry the burdens of life alone. Brothers and sisters, men and women, I have walked with so many, and I've just said, would you, there's room on your yoke. Can I just take some of it? And so often I hear, I got this. And I'm seeing veins and sweat and tears and seeing people fall. And I'm just saying, would you let me in a little? I'll pray with you. I'll love you. I'll help carry. I'll encourage. And I know that I'm not alone in that. Learn to walk with others. It doesn't feel easy at first. It doesn't feel like you should, but you should. There is power in walking together, in letting other people in, in saying, this is where it's hard for me. Will you pray for me? Most often, people don't need advice. They just need prayer and encouragement. Sometimes they do, though, and when that happens, you say, let's look what God says, because who gives a rip about what I say? I'm just some dude who lives in a double-wide in Ocean Park, Washington, right? Like, let's just be real about this. I don't have wisdom, but God does. And so let's seek him together so that we can find strength. In Romans 12, 4 through 6, the same messenger and servant tells us, now as we have many parts in one body, that's the church, all the parts do not have the same function. In the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. He's saying we're woven together like our bodies are woven together. According to the grace given us, we have different gifts. Paul is saying that the church is stronger together. We cannot do this alone. I love that my gift is to teach. I really enjoy this so thoroughly. But one of my favorite moments in being a pastor was one day I was walking by a sister and a friend who was out in the flower beds here weeding. And that's her gift. I mean, she has a green thumb and she has a heart for service. And I just said, you know, thank you so much for using your gift to bless our church. And she said, you're welcome. And then as I was about to open the door, she said, and thank you for using yours today. Amen. And I was like, praise the Lord, right? When will the church recognize that the person weeding the flower beds is as important as the pastor, and is as important as the person making coffee, printing the bulletins, greeting people, giving so that the church can function, teaching the Sunday school, praying for the church, loving their neighbors? We're not meant to do this alone. Can you imagine how weak our church would be if I had to broadcast services online that were pre-recorded for weeks and weeks on end and we never got to see? Oh, wait. We all know how weak the church was then, right? I hated that season. It felt so empty and hollow. I had to talk to a screen, and you had to listen to a screen. And without that togetherness, where is the strength? Where is the power? Where is the goodness? It's together. That's right. Paul says we are like a body. And would you ever like chop your body in half and be like, all right, left side, you go to Home Depot, right side, you go to Costco. We'll come together in 30 minutes. We'll get gas and lunch. Is that a good plan? No. By the way, some of you are like, I always get gas at lunch. Is that a problem? Right? This is not a new truth, though. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper corresponding to him. This is a verse about marriage, first and foremost. But it goes beyond that. See, Paul says that there are some people who have the gift of singleness. Some of you are like, I wish I could tell that to my 15-year-old boy crazy self, right? You have the gift of singleness, girlfriend. Don't wait. Wait. Don't worry. Wait 5 years. He'll come around. You don't have to try all those other flavors. They're no good. It's not good for us to be alone. We were never made to do this alone. We were made to do this together because we are stronger together. Colossians 2, 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul writes, for I want you to know how greatly I am struggling for you, for those in Laodicea, and for all those who have not seen me in person. I want their hearts to be encouraged and joined together in love so that they may have all the riches of complete understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, Christ. In him are hidden all the treasures and wisdom of God. Paul says, I'm praying because I can't get together with everyone. And the whole point of my life is so that people would be encouraged and joined together in love, so that they would have what? All the riches of complete understanding. We can't gain that alone. You cannot gain a complete understanding of Jesus and your personal devotions in the morning. They are good, but they are not adequate in and of themselves. They are like vitamins. It's excellent and good to take the right vitamins. But alone, vitamins cannot sustain you. You need meat and potatoes, or broccoli and potatoes if you're one of those. I love you, by the way. And you need exercise, right? And the same is true spiritually. Together, we cannot have all the riches of complete understanding and knowledge of God's mystery, Christ. I want you to know this. If I know you and you're my brother and sister in Christ, without you, I am poorer. You make my life richer. Amen. You really do. That is one thing that I've found in this church over and over again, that my brothers and sisters in Christ enrich my life, even when they fail, because Jesus is working in our weakness to make his love more evident. Amen. I hope that you are convinced that we are stronger
together.
I hope that you will commit to practicing that. This is an ideal. I mean, honestly, it's like that fancy new whatever in the glass shelf at the store. I wish I could have that. I wish it'd be so good. I just wish that I could experience what Pastor Chris does, but he's such a holy man. I'm not. I'm just a dude, just like you, or maybe a little bit different than you, because I'm a little weird. We could go with that, right? But I have the same human experience that you do. You want to compare wounds at church? I've got stories. I count them as loss for the sake of knowing Christ. We are stronger together. Will you be stronger today in Christ? Will you commit to remaining in the vine? Will you seek after him? Will you abide in him? Will you know the strength of Christ? The next time the catastrophe comes your way, whether it's a stubbed toe, a lost job, or a dead spouse, will you say, Jesus, I'm blowing the horn. I need strength in you. Will you embrace your weakness? How many of us are hiding our failures and our weaknesses, our inabilities, because we're just afraid that someone will judge us, condemn us, or find us wanting? Man, Paul says embrace those, boast in those. I cannot wait for Christ to be strong in my lack of organizational skills as I ask for help from others. I cannot wait for Christ to be strong in my laziness, so that someone would charge me up and move me forward, and I can say, thank you, Jesus. Will you commit to being stronger together? Will you give up walking away from the church and running away from community and communion with the saints? We are a body for a reason. We are weaker without you. There are churches in America who are weak because they can't hang together. Will you commit to hanging together? We are stronger together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the truth that in Christ we have strength. We can do all things through your Son. It's an excellent, excellent reminder. Father, when we are feeling unable and incapable, when we are feeling weak, when we have stumbled and fallen, help us remember that first and foremost, your Son is with us. He is interceding for us in the right hand, that there is no shame, there is no condemnation, there is no sin that can keep us from you or your love. Would you pour out your strength in us through your Spirit so that we may know you and love you and follow you? And Father, help us to see our weaknesses, gloriously and mercifully expose to us the places where you are meeting us with your strength, both through people around us and just through your divine ability making within us. And Father, would you help us to be knit together as a church? Satan would love to just come in here into every church all over the world and just divide us and break us into factions and make us loyal to a person instead of a Savior. Break down the walls that separate us, Father. In the places where we're hurt, where there's bitterness and unforgiveness, heal us. In the places where there are barriers like physical distance, like needing to do church online instead of in person, would you strengthen us in those weak spots so that we can be the church together? We thank you, God, for what you are doing and what you are about to do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.